This is your wake up call.
Wake the fuck up. The Breakfast Club, the show you love to hate. From the East to the West Coast.
DJ Envy.
Angela Yee.
Charlamagne Tha God.
The realest show on the planet.
This is why I respect this show, because this is a voice to society.
Changing the game.
You guys are the coveted morning show, but y'all earned it.
Impacting the culture.
They wake up in the morning and they want to hear that Breakfast Club.
The world's most dangerous morning show.
We in the mother...
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. Guess what day it is?
Pump day.
Now, Yee was in South Carolina last night doing a step show.
No, I was not. I was actually supposed to be there at South Carolina State. And my flight, I guess it was really bad weather in New York, and all the flights were grounded. It was very windy. I was in the airport for maybe about 2 hours, two to 3 hours.
So you never made it?
So, yeah, I didn't make it. I was supposed to be there at 7:30, and my flight didn't end up leaving until about 5, but then it was I was going to Charlotte, and it was a two-hour drive to where I had to be, so.
Yeah, that sucks.
It just wasn't going to happen. So I apologize to everybody at South Carolina State. A few people hit me. What happened? It was not my fault. I was at the airport bright and early, waiting to go. I tried every other alternative. I tried to see if I could get a flight out of JFK, different airport, whatever. It just didn't happen. It
wasn't happening.
All right. Well, first things first, rest in peace to Rafiki, okay? Rafiki Benson, y'all don't care?
I know him, Benson, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Rest in peace to Benson.
He was the voice of Rafiki in The Lion King. Rafiki bigger than Benson.
I never saw The Lion King.
You think so?
Oh, God. It's not even close. What are you talking about?
But you at least
think so.
But you know who he is from Benson.
I mean, if you're a certain age.
I guess you're right. Yeah.
But I'm sure more people know. Rafiki's dead, y'all.
Yeah,
all right.
That's messed
the
up.
Voice of Rafiki, Robert, last name I can't pronounce, died. But he died at 89 years old.
So he had a good life.
That's a nice long living.
And he worked until he pretty much passed, doing stuff he enjoyed.
I don't know about all that.
He was Rafiki. You
he was Rafiki.
Yeah, but Rafiki was 20 years ago. What are y'all talking about?
Was it 20 years ago?
The Lion King?
I can't remember what it was.
What is wrong with y'all this morning? Everybody on drugs?
I forget my age, man.
Yeah, you do.
I forget my age.
I can tell by the way you wear your pants.
I forget my age. You better stop looking at my ass. Me and Charlamagne walked in with each other, and I turned around, and I seen him looking at me.
Why were you looking at
him? I'm like, when is this grown man going to pull his goddamn pants?
And you know what I said? You see it. You see it. I'm doing my squats. You see it.
Like, when is this goddamn boy going to pull his pants
you
up,
You see
man?
It.
Jesus Christ.
My goodness. Well, we have a special guest joining us this morning, former Attorney General Eric Holder.
Now, how the hell did I forget that? Drop on the clues bombs for Eric Holder.
Oh, so you forget that.
I did. I forgot who we had on the show today. Former Attorney General Eric Holder.
That's right.
Possibly a presidential candidate in 2020, you know?
And we have to start talking about things like this. Yesterday, behind the scenes, we were talking about attorney generals, and the board op didn't know who the Attorney General now is.
No, he didn't know who the Attorney... He didn't know who Eric Holder was.
He didn't know who Eric Holder was.
He didn't know who Eric Holder was. He didn't know who the Attorney General was.
So we got to start talking about these things, boy.
Charlamagne's guy, Wax, thought that Eric Holder was...
Barack Obama.
Yes, he sure did.
Yeah, he did.
Definitely did. He asked me, is that Barack? I want a picture with Barack. I said, yeah, that's Barack.
By the way, I'd rather Wax be in the ballpark than not be in the ballpark. Okay, this guy didn't even know what an attorney general did. He had no idea Jeff Sessions is repealing all of these laws to keep your black ass, you know, pretty cool out here. All right? Criminal justice reform, there's no such thing as that anymore, damn near.
So we got to talk about all that this morning, all right? And we got front page news. What are we talking about, Yee?
We are going to give you a warning. NAACP has issued a warning for black passengers traveling with American Airlines.
Really? All right, well, I fly Delta, but we'll talk about it. I ain't got to worry about that. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Let's go. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, if you're a fan of baseball, you're watching baseball. The Dodgers beat the Astros last night, 3-1. Game 2 is tonight.
Brooklyn Nets are playing the Cavaliers tonight.
That's a very, that's a real downgrade from the World Series.
Nah.
And I don't even like baseball. Okay.
All right, well, what else you want to talk about on Front Page News?
NAACP has warned black passengers about traveling with American Airlines. They said they have noticed a pattern of disturbing incidents that have been reported by African-American passengers specific to American Airlines. Hmm. Now, a spokeswoman for American Airlines, Shannon Gilson, said that our team members, a diverse community of gate agents, pilots, and flight attendants, are proud to serve customers of all backgrounds, and she is disappointed to hear about this advisory, but they said as of late there have been four separate incidents that are not connected with each other that show a pattern.
I don't fly American Airlines. I'm a JetBlue guy.
I fly sometimes. When I go to Montserrat for Thanksgiving, the only flight that's direct to Antigua is on American.
Well, they catch you on American now. You gonna ride American now, you?
Well, this is an advisory, so it's not saying don't fly on there, just saying be careful, be aware.
Oh, I thought they were saying don't fly on it.
Yeah, it's an advisory. We're keeping an eye on you.
Oh, that means you'll see you on American. I mean, she already got a flight booked to go to Montserrat.
Yeah,
me,
my mom, my family, what am I supposed to do?
Cancel it.
All right, Puerto Rico has reopened 119 schools, so hundreds of students are back in school. But there's 1,100 schools, and they're saying between 15 and 20% of those schools will have to be permanently closed. So that's not easy, but a lot of people are back to school as of yesterday. Now, let's talk about an update on the donkey of the day that you gave to Wesley Matthews. He's the one who said that his three-year-old daughter, she wouldn't drink her milk, so he put her outside and he couldn't find her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out what really happened, he's changed his whole story. He's saying that he did make her drink the milk and she choked on the milk, and that's when her breathing stopped and he actually had to get rid of her body. He removed her body from the home.
So she died? He killed her, and then he didn't call 911?
Yeah, he said she went missing after.
So he told a worse story. Now, this is a prime example of when you try to cover up a lie. You know what I'm saying? Because when you tell one lie, you just got to tell another lie to keep covering up that first lie.
Correct.
So you might as well tell the truth from the beginning, because now I don't believe nothing he says.
Right, he said he tried to get, and she's, you know, adopted, his adopted daughter.
Oh, so it wasn't his biological?
No.
Oh, that's why he was so able to just tell her to go outside and stand by a tree.
But that's not what happened.
No, that's not what happened. He killed her.
He made her drink the milk. And she choked on it.
He didn't
so
call
now he's
911.
Changed the whole story.
She died, and he was like, all right, I'm going to throw her body in the woods.
Either way, you're going to jail, my brother. Like, either way, I don't care what your damn story is. I don't want you to be charged with murder. I wanted him to be charged with murder if they found the girl dead from his original story. Now, I definitely want him to be charged with murder.
And another story of five Michigan teenagers, they threw a 6-pound rock off of an overpass near Flint, Michigan. This happened last week, and they killed a man, Kenneth White, 32 years old. He was riding home from work. He was struck in the face, head, and chest by the rock that crashed through the windshield of the van in which he was a passenger. He was engaged to be married. He had a 5-year-old son that he left behind. And so now these five teenagers are being charged as adults with one count of second-degree murder each and with conspiracy to commit murder, 6 felony counts each of malicious destruction of property, and 2 other lesser charges.
As they should. I don't feel sorry for them whatsoever. Life is all about choices, okay? And when you make a poor choice to throw a 6-pound rock off of a freeway or balcony or whatever it was and somebody died, you got to deal with the consequences of that choice. I have no sympathy for them whatsoever.
Well, they'll tell on the person that actually threw the rock, and the rest of them, I'm sure, will get lesser charges.
Yeah, they said the charges are all the same, but the kids are all different, so you'll see some of the kids are involved in a different way. So the charges, even though they're read the same, different kids will be charged differently.
Right. Mm. All right. Well, that's Front Page News. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night, or maybe you feel positive and you want to spread some positivity this morning. Whatever it may be, phone lines are wide open. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Let's go.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed,
say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
This is Al, man.
Al, what's up, man? Get it off your chest, bro.
I just want to let y'all know I'm very blessed. First off, I'm blessed because I'm alive to see another day, and I got a job. Secondly, my son turned 16 years old today, and he's a straight-A student, man. Can't get much better than that.
Congrats, man. Enjoy your son, man, because they get big so fast. So, man, spend a lot of time with him.
Definitely. Thank you.
Shanice.
Hello.
Hey, good morning, mama. Get it off your chest.
So, I'm mad because my husband, he's a police officer, and we're black, and he went to an all-white department, and they were just talking about things, how police you know, the state of police and all that stuff. And my husband basically was telling one of the fellow officers that, yeah, you know, when I'm off duty and I get stopped, I kind of get harassed and, you know, by police officers as well. And they were like, well, you should show your badge. And he was like, well, that's kind of official misconduct or whatever. And they tried to fire my husband.
They tried to fire him?
Really?
Why'd they try to fire him?
Because they felt like they couldn't trust him. So they basically, he's a probationary officer for a year. So they basically, like, as a probationary officer, they can fire you for anything that they want to.
So basically,
they tried to fire him. And then, like, right before they handed him his paperwork, one of the officers was like, you know, basically told him the whole gist of what happened. And this is why you're in this position, because we felt like we couldn't trust you.
Wow. Well, what is he going to do? What is he going to do now?
Exactly. And then they, like, it's craziness. So, like, we have a lawyer and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, now they really feel like they can't trust y'all now if y'all
absolutely
about to sue them.
Not.
Well, it is what it is. You can't try. And then you wonder why, like, police officers, they don't stand up. Everybody's like, well, if they say all police officers aren't bad or whatever, then how come the good officers don't stand up? And this is the reason why.
So right.
Yeah, they're a clique, and they choose their policeness over their humanness.
If you're not part of this code of silence,
right.
You gotta go.
Right, it's crazy.
Well, good luck to you, Mama.
All right, thank you.
I hope everything works out okay.
Yeah, keep us updated. Let us know what ends up happening.
I definitely will. Thank you.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Let's go.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad
or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Chandler from Ohio. How you guys doing this morning?
What's up, Chandler? Get it off your chest.
DJ Envy and Charlamagne, I'm going to need you guys to do Miss Yee a favor and get her a copy of The Lion King. How have you not seen The Lion King all your life? Like, I apologize, but I'm like, what did your parents do? You didn't go to Disney and you haven't seen Lion King? Like,
yeah, it's pretty bad.
I'm going to be honest, I don't even think my parents have seen The Lion King.
It's a great movie, so what I'm going to need you guys to do for her is get her a copy for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and you watch with your parents Lion King, because you have to see The Lion King. You have to see it.
It's actually the story of black people in America, if you really pay attention to it.
But you can go see the play. You can see the play.
You think the play?
Don't start with the play.
The movie first.
Yeah, stick to the cartoon.
Don't stick. Don't be confused.
Yes. Okay, maybe.
Is there
right.
a part two?
No. Part two.
There is the Lion King part two. But it don't matter. You don't need that.
Please get it for it. Please.
Now, hold on. Did you see part two?
It was trash.
Yeah, Lion King Part 2 is like Belly Part 2.
I didn't see Part 2.
I'm going to start with Part 2.
I seen Part 1 and then I seen the play. I took the kids to see the play. Tyrese!
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Tyrese.
Is it Breakfast Club?
Yeah, get it off your chest, Tyrese.
Oh, man. Shout out to Ezra Yee, DJ Envy, Charlamagne, man. How y'all doing this morning?
What's up, Black Tie?
All right, man. I just want to tell you why I'm glad, man. Shout out to Charlamagne. 2 months ago, fat shaming everybody. You know what I mean? I'm going to cut, about 20 pounds down to 225 now.
Drop one of the food bombs for this young man. There you go, my brother.
There you go. Congratulations.
Yeah, oh, congratulations now.
You know,
by the way, you know how many of these I get all the time? Fat people come up to me like, yo, man, because of you, fat shaming, I lost weight.
You know how many people come up to me and say, I hate how Charlamagne talks
so
about
what?
Fat people?
You rather people lose weight or not? So what?
You can still lose weight without being fat shamed.
Salute to you, my brother, for taking the positivity out of what I said. Don't worry about people saying I'm negative. If it motivates you, let it motivate you.
And if it doesn't, that's fine, too.
If it doesn't, you're still fat.
All right, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up anytime. Yee. We got rumors on the way.
Well, let's talk about Ken Du and what he wants from Mary J. Blige. New allegations against Harvey Weinstein. We'll tell you what one woman's story is.
Still more people coming out?
Many more. Over 50.
Oh, my goodness. All right, we'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Ken Du, Mary's ex. He wants more money.
Listen up.
All the gossip. The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, first Can Do asked for $130,000 in spousal support a month for Mary J. Blige.
Jesus Christ.
The judge gave him $30,000, which 30, is still a lot
month?
Of money, $30,000 a month. Yes, now he wants to get $65,000. Now, according to Can Do, he said he needs that money because the divorce songs that Mary J. Blige is doing tarnish his reputation and he can't find work anymore. Now, Can Do, these are not divorce songs. These are songs about things that's going on in her life for real.
Yeah, it wasn't the divorce songs that tarnished your reputation. It was you cheating on Mary that tarnished your reputation.
Now, in particular, he talks about her album Strength of a Woman and says the songs Love Yourself and Set Me Free have caused him to have some issues. Here is some of Set Me Free.
Tell me how you figure that you made me and you gave me what I had before I met you. And gon' have it when you're gone. And how you fix your mouth to say I owe you when you had another bitch and taking trips and wish. With my money for so long, you must have lost it. You know you won't get a dime, but all you gonna get, too bad I can't get back my time.
I mean, I'm gonna be honest. Lie.
Listen, man,
if
here's
it's
the
true,
thing.
It's true.
Can Do's my guy, but that's super lame. Like, if you know that you cheated on your wife and you did your wife wrong in some way, shape, or form, you cannot ask for $60,000 in spousal support, bro.
You should sue yourself. For
you're the reason that y'all are getting a divorce. Like that's whack. You can't do that.
All right, now Tyrese is going through it. His ex-wife has filed a police report against him because he hired a plane to fly a banner over his daughter's school and send her various gifts. The banner said, "No matter what, Daddy loves you, Shayla."
That's gangsta. I like that.
Right. Well, the problem is that there's a temporary restraining order against Tyrese, so he cannot have any direct or indirect contact with Shayla. And that's, I don't know if that's indirect contact, if that's in violation, but we don't know. It's not personal contact. We'll see what
that's
happens.
That's indirect. That's kind of might be a violation. But what? Tyrese ain't abusing his child. Why are they doing that to Tyrese?
But this
though?
Is the problem. The problem is the young, his daughter's supposed to testify, right?
Mm-hmm.
So being that his daughter's supposed to testify, they call that, what's that?
Witness intimidation or something.
Not intimidation, but just kind of like
tampering or something.
Yeah, like you're trying to influence whatever they say on the stand, basically.
All right. Well, Tyrese also posted some on Instagram. Now, here's what he said.
Sometimes you gotta slow dance with Jesus, you know what I mean? Step into that thing with confidence. Hey!
Drop one of Clues Bombs with Tyrese. I'm telling you, there's nobody more funnier than Tyrese. Tyrese is hilarious.
He is, but this is serious when it comes to his daughter, man. I feel bad for him.
This is called parenting alienation and enmeshment. So he said he found out that's what it is. He said, nothing will ever break the love and bond between daddy and his daughter, as
well,
it shouldn't.
Well, maybe Black Tie will rap about it.
Well, Black Tie has some new things happening. Identity theft. Now he posted with his, I guess, Damon Dash is now his manager.
I don't know.
Is that how it's working?
I don't know.
Why? Where'd that come from?
I think consulting.
Well,
I don't know,
he was
manager.
In the studio with Damon Dash, and here's what happened.
I've been instructed to not put up any more videos because I just need to catch off guard and let the work speak for itself. But I'm in the studio with my big bro. You got to tell him you lied.
When he said it first, he said he was rapping. I said, "You going to rap?" I laughed. But once I heard it, I took it serious because it's a serious album. And, you know, it's not really a gimmicky kind of thing. It's old school, like some old Nas, some old Reasonable Doubt.
Oh, God.
Some old Chronic. Got all that.
Why would Dame set Tyrese up for failure like that? And by the way, I've already told Tyrese behind the scenes
you have.
That he's setting himself up for failure. Envy was my witness. First of all, you can never live up to those expectations. All right, those projects Dame named, it's not just about the Sonics. People have memories attached to those albums. You know where you were in life when The Chronic dropped, when Reasonable Doubt dropped, when Illmatic dropped? There's nothing Black Tie can do to compete with that.
You haven't heard the album yet.
No, man, Charlamagne is so mean. Maybe you should hear the album. Stop it.
Charlamagne is the type of friend that you don't want to speak to if you're about to commit suicide, because he's gonna be like, if you're gonna do it, do it.
No, that's not true.
Charlamagne went in on Tyrese on our group chat.
I didn't go in on Tyrese. I told him the truth, like I tell all my friends the truth. Because when that album drops and it doesn't make people feel the way Reasonable Doubt felt and Illmatic felt, people gonna clown Tyrese.
Right, but if it's the album is crazy, it's a bomb, it's just one of the best of the year.
Angelique, let's bet your life savings that Black Tie's album is as good as Reasonable Doubt, Illmatic, or The Chronic.
My life savings is tied up in something else.
I'm
Angela Yee. That's your rumor report.
Bet every call you got.
My cars are tied up in something else.
Okay. All right. Okay.
All right. When we come back, we have former Attorney General Eric Holder in the building.
We'll Why is he coming to this little ghetto-ass, raggy-ass radio show?
We haven't figured it out yet, but we're going to talk to him when we come back. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building, former Attorney General Eric Holder.
Thank you for coming. You know, so many artists and actresses and actors who don't like to come here to the Breakfast Club, but we're glad that you came.
Oh, thanks for inviting me. Appreciate it.
Well, you're from the Bronx.
I was born in the Bronx, in Hunts Point.
Born and raised in the Bronx. What got you into law and politics coming from the Bronx?
You know, it's interesting. I'm not quite sure. It's just one of those things that kind of happened. You know, I graduated from college and I was trying to figure out what I was going to do, and I ended up in law school because I thought people told me you can do a lot of things with a law degree. I wasn't sure I wanted to be a lawyer, but after, I guess, like my first year, I really became interested in criminal law, and that's what kind of put me on the path.
You never wanted to be a rapper coming from the Bronx?
A break dancer?
There was no rapping when I was growing up, man.
A little graffiti, a little vandalism, man.
I mean, I might have wanted to be one of the Temptations. That might have been where I was.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, I'm a little older than you, man.
What attracted you to criminal law?
Well, you know, it was it seemed...
It like personal experiences, or what was it that...
Yeah, it was my extensive record that had something to do with it. No, but beyond that, No, but, you know, it seemed to me that that was the part of the law where you got resolutions relatively quickly. Civil cases take, you know, forever. Mm-hmm. Criminal law was also something that I was more familiar with, you know, just watching TV, movies, things like that. So it just seemed more interesting to me.
Now, it seems like this administration is hell-bent on reversing everything President Obama and the y'all administration did. Why is that?
Well, you know, I think there's clearly ideological differences. I think what you have now in power is the extreme part of the Republican Party. They were opposed to President Obama, opposed to me throughout the course of the 8 years that he was in office. And now is their turn to, there's their opportunity to reverse things that I think made this country better, more just, more fair. I hope to think this is just kind of a blip. You know, the progress is never, you know, doesn't go in a linear fashion. But I just think, I hope this is just a step back and then we can take two steps forward come 2018, 2020.
In retrospect, do you wish that our former President Barack Obama would have been more outspoken or radical? Seeing how radical Donald Trump is, it feels like you were more radical than Obama was when it comes to rights for African Americans.
No, I'm not sure about that. I mean, people tend to forget I served in his administration. Mm-hmm. And so the things that I said, the things that I did were all things that he supported. And I don't think you can separate us. You can't say that I was one thing and he was another. And because the reality is that he and I share a worldview. I mean, he's a down dude, you know. Mm-hmm. And everything that I said, I would have think that he'd probably say, yeah, I agree with Eric.
Mm-hmm. When you decided to step down, how difficult of a decision was that for you?
It wasn't that difficult. I was kind of tired at that point. I'd been in the office for 6 years, the third longest serving attorney general in our country's history. And you know, I'd done a lot of the things I wanted to do, and I thought it was time to let somebody finish out, you know, the last 2 years strong.
Mm-hmm. Why'd you step down?
I had worked on criminal justice reform. We put a lot of things in place there. I thought I'd left the Justice Department ready to deal with the voting rights things that we were facing. As I said, I thought I had done a lot of the things I had wanted to do. I'd accomplished the things I wanted to do. And I thought with, you know, Loretta Lynch coming in and, you know, with some new energy there, that would be a good thing for the last 2 years of the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm. Well, why does Jeff Sessions not want proper criminal justice reform, it seems?
You know, I think he's stuck in the 80s, and he's stuck in the failed policies of...
You give him the 80s? I say the 60s.
I was talking about the 1880s.
Oh, okay. All right.
he's stuck in the failed policies of the past, you know, where this whole notion of, you know, mass incarceration, you know, we were shown that there was a different way, that there were alternatives to incarceration, that you had to focus on the underlying conditions that tended to breed crime. You had to focus on the fact that people make mistakes but can rehabilitate themselves, and you need to have reentry programs. And you could do all this stuff, keeping the American people safe, spending less money on criminal justice things. And so it's illogical for me to see what they're doing. But I think it's an ideological, you know, thing that they're just kind of stuck in.
Why is there more noise being made around that, though? Because it seems like he's reversed all of these policies that directly affect our communities, but it's been done, like, relatively quiet.
Oh, I think it's a political thing as well. I mean, they're coming up with wedge issues. You know, mm-hmm. They're trying to energize their base by separating various groups of Americans and then playing them off one another. You know, Trump's got a base of, I don't know, 35, 38%, whatever it is, and he wants to keep them happy, keep them energized.
The alt-right.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that's why he's talking, you know, all the time about, you know, NFL players taking it. I mean, he's the president of the United States. You know?
Why does he care about it?
Talking about
he's
NFL. Talking about the NFL.
Yeah, you know, bigger issues.
What's that all about, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Barack talked about basketball, but it was always like a C story. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't the main headline.
Right. Yeah. You know, he had a good jumper. He was in the front row watching the games. I mean, that's cool. And if you want to do that, I mean, I think that's pretty cool. But, you know, this notion that you're going to be tweeting or whatever it is about, you know, and firing NFL players, that's a little blow. That's punching down if you're the president of the United States.
Yeah, what do you think about Trump and this campaign? And do you think 2020 he'll win again?
You know, I wonder if he, well, does he make it to 2020? B, does somebody challenge him in the election? And I think the Democrats, if we stay together, if we are focused, we can beat him in 2020. But the fight to beat him starts right now. In 2017, we have elections in New Jersey, mm-hmm. in Virginia, in Pennsylvania, that people got to get out there and vote. And, you know, start voting now, make voting a habit, and make sure that we turn out in big numbers in 2020.
When you say Trump won't make it to 2020, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, I think the possibility is very real that, you know, something's going to happen with the investigation that Bob Mueller is doing. And so the possibility exists that maybe charges are brought, but he's potentially impeached. I mean, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe he'll step down before he gets impeached.
I don't see that. I mean,
too much ego.
Wife's of the view, he doesn't really like the job. She's always saying, I'm thinking, no, you know, this is a guy with a huge ego. And if you got a big ego, what job would you want more than to be president of the United States?
All right, we got more with the former attorney general when we come back. Eric, hold us. Don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. So don't move. It's
the Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have former Attorney General Eric Holder in the building. Yee.
You might possibly run for office. Maybe some
That's possible.
Political office.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah.
Like, how possible?
I like this.
Is this something that's already brewing?
No, I mean, I'm focused at this point on, you know, this National Democratic Redistricting Committee that we are, you know, that we're working on. We're trying to deal with this whole problem of gerrymandering, you know, racial gerrymandering, partisan gerrymandering. And so I'm focused on that. And if you want to learn about that, I'd urge you to go to, you know, our website. Once we get past the 2018 elections the 2017 elections, I want to tell everybody out there, mm-hmm. New Jersey, Virginia, Pennsylvania, there are things that you got to do, which is vote that first Tuesday in November. But I'll decide in the future, you know, what it is I might want to do.
What will it take? What will push you over the edge?
First, I've got to convince my wife this is something that we're going to do.
Always got to run a path to wife.
Always got to
run a path to wife, happy life.
Exactly
she,
right.
She doesn't want you to run?
I think she's pretty much through with public life. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
I think you got that twinkle in your eye.
You twinkle?
Yeah.
I think that might be fatigue, man.
You know? I'm
a night person. This is early for me, you know?
I think it'd be perfect because you're from the environment. You're from the community. So you see what people don't see. You know, like you're talking Jeff Sessions and some of the bills that he's turning. He's never seen. He's not from there and seen criminal activity and people change. You know, he doesn't see that.
Yeah.
But you have.
I think that's right. I had guys who I grew up with who ended up with substance abuse problems. Issues with the criminal justice system. These were good guys, you know? And I saw what they went through, and I see where they are now. And I've always believed in, you know, the redemptive quality that people have and that society has to have, you know?
Yeah, why isn't prison treated more like a correctional facility? Like, let people go there and learn a trade. Let them get degrees. Like, you know, like let them come out better than they went in.
I mean, that's exactly right. You know, the problem with our system now is that we warehouse people, forget them, and then take them out, don't deal with the deficits that they might have, and then put them right back in the environment from which they came and expect a different result, which makes no sense.
I saw you say that the path Jeff Sessions is on is running the risk of starting a new drug war, and his policies don't effectively fight crime. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we looked at what happened in the 80s and the 90s where we arrested huge numbers of people, gave them sentences, I think, disproportionate to the conduct that they engaged in. I mean, we have 5% of the world's population and 25% of the people in the whole world who are in jail here in the United States of America. We spend about $80 billion a year on our correction system. And there's just a better way. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have seen now that we can come up with ways in which we can prevent people from getting involved in the criminal justice system. Those who do end up in facilities need to be given the opportunity to deal with educational problems that they might have. And then we need to come up with reentry programs, so that people can have skills once they get out, once they return home. Sessions isn't about that. I mean, I think he's really just all about doing it the old way. You know, these kind of dragnet things.
Slavery.
There's an element of that. I mean, yeah. You know, it's modern day indentured servitude. Maybe I won't call it slavery, but it's not cool.
Gotcha.
Do you think that they've done anything?
Somebody go get Mr. Eric Holder some tissue, please. You hear the man sniffling?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. You don't want the people to think the next president might have a coke habit.
Do you think Trump has done anything, or Jeff Sessions, anything positive at all? Anything that you could say, oh, at least that was good?
Whoa. I'd be hard-pressed. I mean, I think I'm a pretty fair-minded guy.
Right.
But I think I'd be hard-pressed to come up with something that they've done well.
Sheesh.
I'm trying to be responsive and fair to your question. I'm not really coming up with much of anything. I mean, I think they put at risk, you know, some of our big alliances dealing with issues that, like climate change, the Iran nuclear deal, where they've, you know, kind of blown those up. I just don't see it. You know?
His only agenda, it seems, is to reverse everything that President Barack Obama has done. Like it doesn't seem like he has his own agenda. His agenda is just reverse everything that the previous administration did.
Yeah, I don't. There's something strange going on there. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything that he sees that has Barack Obama's name on it, I think he sees as negative and something. Yeah, and he wants to take it down. And you know, but that doesn't mean we have to take that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
By voting, by protesting, by staying active means that we can be an active and effective opposition to the things that they're trying to do.
Now you've seen Donald Trump attack Jeff Sessions in the media. You say it's unprecedented for a president to do that to an attorney general.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. You know, Barack Obama and I now were friends, and we're maybe closer than you'd expect an attorney general and a president to be, though, you know, there was an appropriate separation that we had. But I've never seen a president attack an attorney general, have that reported about in the way that Trump supposedly attacked Jeff Sessions. I've never read about anything like that.
So when you and President Obama had problems, what y'all do? Play a little one-on-one, a little arm wrestling?
A little basketball.
What y'all do to...
We didn't have that many problems, you know, and to the extent that we did, he's reserved. He said there's a couple things we need to talk about once we both get out of office. I don't even really know what they might be. But I think
you looked at Michelle a little too long or something?
No, we were talking about policy now. Our wives are extremely close.
Gotcha.
Don't start no trouble now, man. Come on now.
But listen, that sounds like fighting words. There's a couple things we need to talk about.
Now, what about this television show?
Yeah.
That you're doing. This is a go based on.
Well, you know, I don't know the total process, but we have interest from CBS and from the studio and all that stuff, and working on the pilot. And I don't, you know, I guess it has to get picked up all along the way. But it's called Main Justice, mm-hmm. And it's about. About a 35, 36-year-old African-American attorney general whose name is Miles Blair. So,
Now, hold on. Now, you about to be executive producing TV shows?
Yeah, man.
So you're going to combine the best of both worlds from the last two presidents.
I'm a multimedia kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a scripted show?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Eric. Hold it with your bad self. Hold on. I didn't know. You always wanted to get into TV and stuff?
No. This is something new, you know. This is just somebody approached me with the idea, mm-hmm. and said they had an idea for a show about an African-American attorney general, and I was kind of a logical person.
Yeah, it's only been one.
Ask about it, you know. Like, and so I said, yes. Yeah. So I've been out to California, met with Jerry Bruckheimer. Les Moonves is the head of CBS. It's been pretty cool.
Now, don't get lost in the entertainment world now, because we might need you for 2020.
There's a lot of Bentleys out there, man. I'm a car guy. You know? That was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. What's your favorite car? I'm just curious.
Huh?
What's your favorite car?
Right now, I got an Acura NSX. It's bad, man.
Really? The new one?
It's a bad ride.
See, I like him already.
Don't
now.
Mess with me.
Did you drive by yourself?
Now.
Okay, before you couldn't. But you probably got people tailing you and stuff, though.
Yeah, I still have some people. I still got a small entourage.
So, you got an Instagram?
I don't use it that much, but I do. Yeah, I do have one.
Do you secretly follow rappers on Instagram and admire their cars?
No. I'm usually on YouTube. That's where I usually look and see who's driving what.
Got you.
Michael B. Jordan's got an NSX. He got a white one. Mine's black.
Got you. Go ahead, Eric Holder.
All right, we got more with the former attorney general when we come back, so don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have former attorney general Eric Holder in the building. Charlamagne?
And I read something on USA Today once, and they called your police shooting record dismal. Why weren't you tougher on police shootings?
Well, you know, I think that what we did was look at the shootings that we could, that had potential federal jurisdiction, but then you have to apply the law and mm-hmm. make determinations about whether or not you can bring cases that can be won. And what I said as I was leaving the Justice Department was that the standard that exists now in the civil rights laws that the Justice Department has to apply, the standard was too high mm-hmm. and that we needed to put it at a more appropriate level. I don't think that's going to happen in this administration.
Do you think that America could be tougher on police shootings?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are certainly some civil rights violations that I think the Justice Department could certainly, with this lower standard, could have brought with regard to certain cases. But I think the real thing is to really increase the level of trust that exists between people in law enforcement and the communities that they serve.
Mm-hmm.
That ultimately would make police more safe. And so the reflexive way in which...
Make police more safe?
And
yeah.
People more safe,
need to make us
too.
More safe.
No, it would work both ways. It would work both ways.
Right.
If people trusted the police, they would the police would feel more safe and be more safe. But I also think
they're the ones with the guns. They should feel safe.
But that's the deal. Yeah. If they feel safe, I think they would be less likely to use those guns. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there needs to be implicit bias training.
But if we feel safe, we wouldn't run. You know, because sometimes I think people's natural instinct, right. I don't know what these police are going to do to me, right. and I'm scared to do anything. I better just get out of here.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I think it works both ways, you know. But there's the need for dialogue, the need for trust building. And that's one of the things that we tried to work on. It's one of the things Loretta tried to, you know, keep going while I was there. And Sessions has said, you know, that he's going to pull back from
right.
these pattern and practice investigations that we started, you know, around the country.
Yeah, you even had Donald Trump telling the police to be a little tougher on
how do we
civilians.
Build? How do
I
we
mean,
build
that was one
trust?
Of the really that was one of the more ridiculous things that mm-hmm. he said
Absolutely.
About you know the way you should manhandle prisoners and things like that. That was actually embarrassing. You know, I was actually happy to see that a pretty substantial number of police organizations rejected that comment.
What did you think of Trump's, I think, disrespecting the widow of the falling soldier?
Get some softer tissue for you, too, sir.
This one's fine. I'm doing good with it.
And they give you that hard hand towel, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You don't want to walk around with a red
nose. I'm a hard guy from New York, man.
Okay, just make it sure.
What do you think about Trump and what he said that they signed up for? It didn't seem compassionate at all.
You know, that's one of those instances I've had to make those calls to talk to fallen agents, fallen police officers. And that really, you know, those are difficult calls, but they're not impossible calls. Mm-hmm. And it reveals more, I think, about who you are than anything else. And he's not an empathetic person.
Right.
And to go at this, you know, young woman who is with two small kids, pregnant with another one, you know, I mean, at some point, even if, you know, you didn't get it quite right, even if you disagree with what she's saying about, you're characterizing what you said, you know, fine. Back off, man. Just, you know, take it easy. Let her deal with her grief. Don't put on top of everything else that she's dealing with a controversy with the president of the United States.
Right.
Are you ready for Donald Trump to tweet that your upcoming TV show is trash? Because you know he will.
Oh, I can tell you one thing. It's going to be better than The Apprentice. So,
okay.
You know, you'll bring it, Donald. You know?
Yeah.
Do
you think that politics is out of the window? And what I mean by that is, like, how politicians have always had this robotic air about them, and they always had talking points for everything. Do you think Trump has kind of, like, changed the game on that? Can you speak a little bit more freely than you used to?
Yeah, I certainly can, you know, but I think that's one of the things that I think people find attractive about him. They think that he's authentic, you know, that he's not dealing with talking points. And I think there is something to be said for that politicians do become a little too robotic. They're too concerned about, you know, not offending certain people. And I think the best thing for leaders to do is to simply, you know, express the truth. What do you really feel? And let the people decide, you know, how they want to react to
Except
that.
Except when he gets the facts wrong, and then he says things that are just not true.
Well, I think we can agree that our president is kind of fact-challenged. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's kind of a problem.
He's a liar, Mr. Holder.
That's,
okay.
that's one way of putting it. Yeah.
He's a liar. It's okay.
Yeah, he's not tied to the facts all the time.
And, you know, you mentioned that he caters to his base, so he caters to those alt-right, white supremacist guys. How hard is it for a black president, you would know, mm-hmm. to cater strictly to black people? How hard would that be?
You can't do that. I mean, that wouldn't be an appropriate thing to do. Barack Obama was an African-American president, but he was the president of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are going to be certain sensitivities, sensibilities that he'll bring to the job that his white predecessors did not. But he had to be president for all the people. And I think he was president for all the people. I think history is going to be really kind to Barack Obama and that administration.
Oh, I mean, well, first of all, Barack has to be one of the most perfect human beings ever to walk the face of the earth.
That would be right.
To be a black man in the White House, not have one scandal, like one,
Like, not zero?
I saw something that said he's the only president in the last, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever it was, that has didn't have any kind of special prosecutor or any kind of investigation of him. He's a pretty good ball player. He knows. Oh, I mean, this guy, you talk about he's the perfect guy. He's a pretty good ball player. He knows all kinds of music. He can sing. He's reading everything. He's watching all the junk TV. I wonder, like, when the dude sleeps, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's... You want to talk to him at virtually any level, and he can hang.
But a lot of black people do feel like he didn't do enough for African Americans when he was in office.
I think that's really unfair. I mean, I think if you look at the things we did at the Justice Department, the reforms that we put in place, and as you said, are in the process of being undone, the way in which we tried to vote, mm-hmm. I tried to protect the right to vote. You know, what he did for the economy, I think, again, you know, you need a little bit of distance, and with years and... some examination that history will do, that he'll be found to be a good president for the American people generally and for African Americans specifically.
Now, what do you think about people kneeling for the flag? I know, you know, we were talking about what the Trump said, but what do you feel about it? Do you think it's disrespectful to the military? What's your opinion on that?
I mean, people need to understand what these guys were doing. What they were trying to do was protest law enforcement actions in communities of color. It wasn't about the military. It wasn't about the flag. But athletes have always been leaders in the fight for social justice. You know, Jackie Robinson, Joe Louis, John Carlos, Muhammad Ali, you know, LeBron James. That's one of the reasons I love him. I mean, he's a guy, he's an athlete with a voice, you know, and those guys, those athletes who have the ability to shape things and don't use their voice. Those are the people who, I don't have as much respect for. I mean, everybody, I think they should all have a picture of Jackie Robinson in their lockers.
You got a better headline than LeBron, too. I'm a little jealous. How old are you?
66.
Jesus Christ, mine been gone.
Attorney General has to get up out of here. He got to go.
All right, well, but look, I want everybody, New Jersey, Virginia, Pennsylvania, vote. And then look at our website, National Democratic, DemocraticRedistricting.com.
Now, what are we voting for in those states?
We got governor races in New Jersey, okay. Governor race in Virginia, and we have a variety of races in Pennsylvania, among them the Supreme Court, which really matters.
What's the white man whispering about? Must
he
be
said,
important.
First the white man said he got to go. Now the white man said, let him talk about this.
Oh, okay.
He got a little extra time now.
So I thought talking about the headline. It must be surgically enhanced. It must not be real.
Whoa. Why you got to go there, man? I'm good West Indian stock, man.
Okay.
Mount Gay Rum. This is what keeps the hair on your head, you know?
Rum. I don't think Mike Pence likes Mount Gay Rum.
That would be my guess. That'd be my guess.
Right.
I would not be shocked to hear that he doesn't like Mount Gay Rum.
Right.
All right. Former U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder, we appreciate you for
joining thanks
us.
For having me, man. I really appreciate it.
If I see you on the West Side Highway, I'm going to pull up on you.
You'll see me going by. You won't be pulling up on me.
And we're looking for that 2020 bid. If you want to announce it, there's no better place than to announce it here on The Breakfast Club.
All right, I promise if I've got an announcement, it'll be here.
All right.
That's a promise now.
I promise.
All right.
All right. There you go.
My man.
There you go.
My brother. Oh,
all right, man.
Shoot, he black for real.
Eric Holder. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
All right.
The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk.
Horny Weinstein.
Horny Weinstein.
Horny ass Harvey. Horny Weinstein.
All right.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. Rumor, rumor, rumor. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
So Harvey Weinstein, more accusers are coming forward. Now it's over 50 women.
Horny Weinstein.
Mm-mm-mm.
If he was a garbage pail kid, he'd be horny ass Harvey.
All right, now Dominique Hewitt has filed a lawsuit. She said she met Harvey Weinstein back in November 2010 at a hotel bar. He said he could help her with her acting career. Then he was staring at her breast and asked if she ever had a boob job and asked her to show him her breast because he said it would be beneficial to her career if she did not have breast implants. Then he invited her to his room saying they would have a meeting. And then when she went there, he went to the bathroom and came out wearing only a robe. He asked for a massage. She said no, and that's when he demanded one, and ultimately she did give him one, and then he asked if he could perform oral sex on her. He wouldn't take no for an answer. He did perform oral sex for several minutes, and then he masturbated until he orgasmed. Now she is suing the Weinstein Company because she said they were aware of his power to coerce and force young actresses to engage in sexual acts with him. Another accuser named Mimi came forward and had a press conference yesterday with Gloria Allred as her attorney, and she told her story about meeting Weinstein back in 2004 and then again in 2006. After the course of several meetings, here's what happened.
I was escorted up to the loft apartment by the driver, where Harvey greeted me. The television was on, and we watched for a short time. It was not long, though, before he was all over me, making sexual advances. And then I said, I'm on my period. There is no way this is gonna happen. Please stop. He wouldn't take no for an answer. He held me down on the bed. I tried to get him off of me and kept asking him to stop, but it was impossible. He then orally forced himself on me I was on my period. He even pulled my tampon out.
Horny Weinstein.
He pulled her tampon out.
I mean, he's a garbage pail kid.
Let me tell you something.
Horny ass Harvey.
That is every woman's excuse when you want to tell somebody no one, and I'm on my period. And it didn't even work.
I mean, and she was saying no because she didn't
want
to have
sex
with him.
Anyway, but then she went a step further and said, I'm on my period, and he took her tampon out. That guy's disgusting.
Harvey likes his steaks rare. Okay.
Now, she said once he was finished, he asked her, don't you feel like we are so much closer to each other now? And she said, no.
What the hell is Harvey, a vampire? First of all, that's rape. Second of all, you ate out a woman you don't
that
even know
crazy.
On her period? Like, you reserve those type of savage behaviors for the wife and the wife only. And you just have to stay on the clitoris. You don't go past, below the clitoris when the period is on.
Okay, Charlamagne.
All right, so, Colin Kaepernick has signed a book deal that's worth over $1 million with Random House imprint One World. So congratulations to him.
Drop on the clues bombs for Colin Kaepernick. Damn it.
He was here taking meetings with publishers in New York, and now he has his book deal. So shout out to him. Now, Nicki Minaj.
And don't you go giving all that money away to charity, Colin, okay? You keep some of that for yourself.
Now, Nicki Minaj, let's talk about her, because they were saying that she would testify on her brother's child rape trial. Now, according to sources, they told TMZ that she's not going to be involved in any way in her brother Jelani Mirage's court case, where he's accused of raping an 11-year-old girl who was his stepdaughter at the time. According to these sources, she has never planned to take the stand, and she doesn't know why these reports were saying that she would testify. Now, yesterday in court, a forensic expert told the jurors that the semen they found on a young girl's pajamas was consistent with that of Jelani Mirage, who was the stepfather at the time. They said there was a less than 1 in 348 billion chance that sperm belonged to someone else, that DNA belonged to someone else. So we've been giving you updates. We told you already the 10-year-old brother took the stand on Monday. And now yesterday, that is what a forensic expert had to say.
Man, I'm glad I'm 2A all day. I got to go buy me some more guns, man. I got two daughters, man. I'm not playing with y'all sexual predators, okay?
Me neither.
I'm popping.
I got about five.
I'm not playing with you.
Nah, man, I'm with you.
Sexual predators at all. Mm-hmm. You're going to keep your semen to yourself or you're going to die.
All right, now Chris Brown, he was talking to our girl Angie Martinez.
Drop on the clues bombs for Angie Martinez
now. Now, they were talking about his documentary, and I watched that, too, and I did see J-Lo was on there talking. Jamie Foxx was on there, and Angie had no idea he even knew J-Lo like that. Here's what happened.
I love that J-Lo was in your video. Man, I didn't even know you knew J-Lo.
J-Lo bad, man.
Chris.
I don't know. I'm just letting you know, hey, look, I might have stiffened up a little bit when I was back at the little show.
What?
Because there's a lot of people back there, and I was nervous. My palms are sweaty. I said hi, but I like you, and I want you.
I'm sure A-Rod really appreciates that, Chris. And also,
oh, you know what, Playboy? Oh, my bad.
You got to shoot a shot, though.
Listen, F shooting your shot.
J-Lo's in love right
now. Listen, man, I don't understand how Chris Brown is doing all of these interviews. He avoided the Breakfast Club, by the way, but he's doing all of these interviews. And it's clear that he's on drugs. Like, it's clear Chris Brown has a drug problem.
You think he's on drugs?
Why is no interviewer bringing that up to Chris Brown? How do y'all sit there and talk to him, look him in his eyes, can tell that this man is clearly wasting away his life and his potential, and nobody says nothing? How? I don't get it. He was supposed to come on the Breakfast Club yesterday, right?
No, the day before.
Monday. But he wasn't going to get here till 12:30. We got things to do, so he left. Then he did Angie. And then he was supposed to come yesterday at 9. And then at the last minute, they called and said he wasn't coming.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing I wanted to talk to him about was, brother, do you have a problem? Because clearly you got a drug problem. But why is nobody saying that?
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor reports.
Nobody even want to talk about it.
Well, we don't know if
but when
on,
the man die or
man.
Something, everybody want to put rest in peace and hashtag Chris Brown. If the man got a problem and you see he got a problem, somebody needs to do an intervention. And all of these label people that's around this guy and all of his friends, you really don't have no real friends, Chris Brown, because if you did, somebody would be trying to pump the brakes on whatever drug problem you got. Because, my brother, it is obvious. You got the Bobby Brown jaw, your eyes all sunk in. It is clear you got a drug problem. And this
right,
is Charlamagne the God
over.
Talking, by the way.
All right. We don't know if he's on it, if he got a drug problem.
I got eyes.
Well, you can't see him
Stop
and
it.
Ask him.
I got eyes.
Jeez.
Okay.
Oh, you want to continue on this spiel? You got
we
donkey
have to
coming
go.
Up?
I'm done.
Dude, you got donkey
Y'all don't
up.
Care. I don't care.
You got Donkey coming up.
Oh, I do.
Yeah. You want to talk about it?
Or? Nope. Kendu Isaacs needs to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with him, please.
All right. When we come back, keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
That's pretty
funny.
Charlamagne
the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, Donkey of the Day for Wednesday, October 25th, goes to Mr. Kendu Isaacs. You know who Kendu is, right?
Heard of him.
Yeah, Mary J. Blige's former husband slash manager. Now, as the story goes, Kendu Isaacs and Mary J. Blige are getting a divorce. Apparently, they are. Are they divorced or getting divorced?
I think they're in the process, right?
Yeah, they're in the process.
Apparently, because of Kendu's alleged affair with a young artist named Starshell. She was signed to Mary's label, Matriarch Entertainment. Page Six actually reported this back in April. In fact, according to Page Six, Mary claimed in court documents that Kendu spent $420,000 on his little girlfriend. And to add insult to injury, Mary would bring her to red carpets and other events to increase her profile. Now, when the legend Mary J. Blige was on The Breakfast Club, she spoke on it but didn't say the young lady's name. Let's hear it.
But I started recording the album like a year ago. Started writing it from a perspective of a woman fighting for her marriage. I wanted it. I, no matter what, I wanted to keep it. I loved him. I wanted to stay. But then, of course, it didn't turn out that way. So everything, you know.
Did he not want it as much as you did?
He didn't. When someone loves someone else, it's nothing you could do.
Jesus.
You know, you just want to be with that person. And whack. but that's what I'm suffering through right now.
What was the turning point where you knew it was going down the wrong road?
When everything I said didn't mean anything. And I was nothing I ever did was good enough, and I was never smart enough. He knew he loved someone else. He knew he wanted a harem and a bunch. You know, he knew he wanted what he wanted.
Now, if he had kept it honest with you, you think you'd have been able to be one of those women who can let their man have another woman?
No, I don't think so. I mean, not this particular person. Anybody but her.
You dudes treat the one that you loving with the same respect that you treat the one that you humping. That ain't about nothing. Mary also spoke on the situation on her VH1 documentary, Scrimp of a Woman, where she went into a little more detail and she was talking to Neo. Let's hear it.
And just so we clear, you have a studio over there in that other place, right?
Yes.
Do not let, do you know?
Huh?
Do not let her nowhere near what you're doing for me.
Okay.
Because she's the reason for all of this. That's my Becky with the good hair.
Damn. Well, Kendu, who was originally asking for $129,319 a month in spousal support, was granted by a judge $30,000 a month, which I think is way too much for a grown-ass man to be getting from his ex-wife. He's now asking for $65,000 a month, okay? Kendu Isaacs wants $65,000 in spousal support because, according to The Blast, who dug up the court documents, Kendu needs his spousal support doubled because Mary's divorce songs tarnished his reputation, and he can no longer find work.
You're cheating, tarnished your reputation.
Kendu, come on, brother. Listen, yes, you're right, Angelique. These songs didn't tarnish Kendu's reputation. He tarnished his reputation because he broke Mary J. Blige's heart by cheating on her. And now we see you robbing Mary with no gun and spousal support, and the general public just doesn't respect that. If Mary never made a record about what happened, we still would be looking at you funny because, honestly, what you doing is lame. Mary J. Blige is an icon, a legend. She's beloved in these streets, okay? The culture protects her at all costs. Of course you can't find work because if people have to choose between you and Mary J. Blige, of course they're going to choose Mary. That's just the way the game goes. It's not like you've shown that you can have success on your own. All your success is tied with Mary. So if you're not working with Mary, why would anyone work with you? It's simple math to me. Mm. Now, what are these divorce songs Kendu is speaking of? Well, they were all featured on Mary's Scrimp of a Woman album. One is titled Love Yourself. That's the one with Kanye West. I love that record, by the way. And Set Me Free. Now, we have a clip of Set Me Free. Let's hear it.
Tell me how you figure that you made me and you gave me what I had before I met you. And gon' have it when you're gone. And how you fix your mouth to say I owe you when you had another bitch and taking trips and shit with my money for so long.
All right, Mary.
You know you won't get a dime. But all you gonna get, too bad I can't get back my time.
Now, that is clearly about Ken Do, but so what?
Right.
Okay, this is Mary's life as much as this Ken Do's, and if she wants to sing about it, she can sing about it. Mary always puts her life in her music. That's why we love Mary J. Blige. Hell, when I heard she was getting divorced, I was happy because I was like, oh, Mary, next album about to be fire. Oh. I just want to know, Ken Do, how are you trying to shake Mary J. Blige down because she sang about you and you gave her the content to sing about? If you hadn't of allegedly cheated with her artist, Starshell, none of this would have happened, Ken Do. You caused all of this on yourself. If you was getting money you was owed from management or managerial things, cool, but asking for all this spousal support because you can't find work without Mary, that's all the more reason you shouldn't have cheated. Fellas, here's a guy code pro tip from your Uncle Charlotte. If your wife is your primary source of income, sit your dumb ass down, eat this slice of pizza, and be quiet, okay? A man's job is to protect and provide. If you're not the primary provider financially, then you have to provide in other ways, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, and you have to protect her emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being. Ken Do, you didn't do that. You actually hurt her and broke her heart. Now you're twisting the knife and asking for $65,000 in child support. Sorry, Ken Do. Nobody feels sorry for you. No empathy, no sympathy. You did this to yourself. And if you want to fix your reputation and get people to possibly work with you again, do what's right. And stop trying to shake Mary J. Blige down because you was wrong. Please give Ken Do Isaacs the sweet sounds of the Hamiltones, please.
Oh, now you are the donkey of the day. Ooh, you are the donkey of the day. Yeehaw.
All right. Thank you for that donkey today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we come back, ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice, call Yee right now. She'll help you with all your problems. Again, 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Brianna.
Brianna, what's your question today?
Okay, my question is basically, I have to tell you the story. So I've been dating for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been going on different dates or whatever. But there's this guy, I know him from church for about like 5 years. He's been going to our church. So recently, you know, he came up to me finally and he gave me his number. He was like, you know, we can talk or whatever. So I go ahead and call him. So it's been about like 4 months now. We've been talking back and forth and he finally told me like he doesn't want for us to get serious. And then I end up finding about his past.
Uh-huh.
So he finally just told me that, you know, he was gay for 22 years. And
whoa.
He's trying to leave that lifestyle behind, and he's trying to pursue something with me. Now, I mean, my sister's gay. I don't have anything against gays. It's kind of confusing. Like, I don't want to, you know, just throw him off, and then he thinks it's like, damn, I should have never said, you know, that. I should just kept it what it was.
Well,
so how do I go from there?
Listen, I just want to say this, Brianna. In relationships, people can tell you things from their past, whether they used to be gay, they used to do whatever it is, used to happen in their past, and it can affect how you feel about them today. So just because somebody told you something from their past, if it makes you uncomfortable, that doesn't mean you're obligated to stay because you feel like, I don't want to seem like I'm judging them. So how do you really feel? Do you want to be with somebody who was gay for 22 years?
At this point, I'm, like, so confused. Because I think, like, society has it easier on girls being gay than guys.
That's a fact, but 22 years is a long time. What made him decide all of a sudden that he wasn't gay anymore? And what makes you
think? He started going to church, and he said that, you know what, like, I didn't, like, when he told me that, I was so shocked. It's like, I had to tell him I'm calling back.
And that's another thing, too, because is he suppressing how he really feels because he's going to church and the church is judgmental and saying that it's a disorder and that he can overcome it? Or has he really decided?
No, like, the pastor, like, he's real big on, you know, you come as you are. So, basically, it's him. He says that he's the one who actually wants to change. It's nothing. But then I don't want to get into a relationship, and then I have to deal with all of that side of him. How about if he just go back to his old ways? So it's just, I don't know.
All right. Well, they have done studies to prove that people can go from being homosexual to heterosexual. So there have been studies that show that if people make that decision, that that's what they want to do. It's risky because he might feel like I'm not getting what I want to get out of this relationship. And he might decide, you know what, it's not for me. But any relationship is risky.
True.
And but are you uncomfortable?
That he ever spoke to.
You said you're the first girl?
First girl.
So it seems like you really like him and you want to be with him, but you're just uncertain about what the future will bring.
I mean, I felt that way before he told me that. So,
okay.
Like, once he put that, it's like the icing.
Brianna, why don't you just take your time?
Okay.
Just take your time. He's going through some things that he probably doesn't even know how he's going to end up either. This is something okay. that's new for him also. So maybe what you need to do is, instead of looking at this as, this is my boyfriend, my man, we're in a relationship, you need to take your time. He needs to take his time. This is something brand new. He doesn't know. For 22 years, he's been a homosexual.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is a huge change. So we don't know if he's going to stick with it. We don't know if he's going to change his mind. And that, you know, I think in any relationship, when something's like uncertain, just take your time. You don't got to jump into anything. And I think at some point, something will clue you in as to what you should do.
Makes sense.
But you're okay with the fact that he used to have sex
with
men?
Yeah, that, it doesn't bother me.
Okay, as long as that doesn't bother you, then just take your time.
Okay.
All right, good luck.
Okay, thank you.
All right, ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, you could call her right now. The number's 800-585-1051. Call her now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. We got Chris on the line. Chris, good morning.
What it do?
Hey, what's up, bro? What's your question for Yee?
Yee, I got, Angela, I got a question, man.
Mm-hmm.
I got this girl I've been dating probably about 5 or 6 months. She really don't. I probably had 3 meals that she's cooked. She okay. don't know how to cook. She don't really clean. You know, I mean, but I like her. She's a good girl. She works and does other stuff, but this is a pet peeve of mine.
Okay, so is her house, her house is dirty?
It's not dirty per se, but it's only not dirty because I clean up. I do everything.
And you said she works. Is she, like, too tired or she's lazy? Explain to me why she's not cooking or cleaning.
She says she's tired, man, but I just figure it's, I mean, I don't care. I work too, you know?
So she don't clean up after herself or anything?
She might pick up after herself, but I'm talking about in general cleaning. Like, she don't clean the tub. She doesn't wash sheets. She yes. don't really do laundry unless, you know, somebody's is in dire need. Like, she has to have something for work.
Right. Yeah, it sounds like she needs to balance her life. So you're the one that's been cleaning. Have you been cooking, too?
Yeah, I cook, too. And she got kids. I cook for the kids and everything.
That sounds like an issue. Like, why is she so irresponsible? Now, I'm going to say this because I know, like, I clean up my house, but I never have time to do the deep clean. So does she have enough money where she could hire somebody to come in, like, once every month to clean?
Nah, not really.
Did you ask her why she doesn't cook or clean?
Yeah, she said she really don't know how to cook. But I'm like, okay, I understand that. You can learn. You can try to learn.
Now,
but
here's something fun
trying to learn.
For y'all to learn how to do together, because I always feel like positively trying to encourage people to do things. Maybe what you guys can do is once a week or maybe twice a week, y'all come together and pick out a recipe and y'all go to the supermarket, get all the ingredients together and cook together.
I've done tried that.
And what happened?
Like, I see a watch. But like I said, it's the same thing. I got to come home from work every day. It's eating out. I don't want to eat out every day.
Right.
I don't got money to eat out every day.
I feel you.
You need money to eat your wife out? What I'm missing?
He's talking
money.
About...
That's about food, come man.
On,
man.
Yeah, take it. Do y'all live together?
Yeah, well, yeah, I just moved in with her.
Right.
Like a month ago.
Okay, because I do feel like the responsibility of cooking on cleaning should fall on both people, and she's got to do her part also. So that's going to be something that you guys have to have a discussion, and if it means that there's a set date that she's responsible for certain things and a set date that you're responsible, because I never feel like it should be just a woman, but you said you do clean and you do cook also.
I clean, cook, I do all of that.
Right, so...
All of that.
And she's the one that has the kids. You have kids, too?
Yeah, I got kids, too. I got, you know, I got a daughter that, you know, that I'll take care of on a regular. Like, you know, I'm a, you know, single dad type, you know, my baby. That's another issue, but I do all of that.
All right, so why don't y'all come up with a schedule? Because you sound super irritated, even me just speaking to you right now. What you guys need to do is come up with a schedule, and she has to be responsible for cleaning 2 days a week, and you're responsible 2 days a week. And then for cooking, she's got to cook 2 days a week, and you got to cook 2 days a week. And then you guys can figure out certain days y'all eat out or have leftovers. But you guys got to come up with a schedule.
I'm going to try that.
So it could be like, if she cooks, you clean up. You know what I'm saying? That's what y'all need to do. Just come up with a schedule. Yeah. That way it's a routine, so she knows that she's expected to do this, but she knows that you're also putting your weight in as well.
I feel that. I appreciate it.
All right.
Good luck, bro.
He sounds so mad.
Thanks.
All right. Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, you could call her right now. Now, we got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yes. How would you feel about your girlfriend hanging out with her ex-boyfriend? Well, we'll tell you what's happening with Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez.
All right. We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's about time.
What's going on?
Yo.
Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, first it appeared that Tamar Braxton confirmed that Toni Braxton is indeed married, right? She posted that on her Instagram when she called her sister Toni Braxton Williams.
Who Toni married?
Birdman.
Oh.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah, because she posted that, so everybody assumed that's what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, according to TMZ, Tamar Braxton has filed for divorce. She filed
what?
Those papers yesterday in L.A. They've been married for almost 9 years, and it's almost a 9-year anniversary. They have a 4-year-old son.
Oh, my goodness.
And they started dating back in 2003. So there you have it. She's filed for divorce officially now.
From Vince?
Yes. Her husband. Wow. Who else can you file for divorce from?
No, I just said, like, wow. Okay.
Nah, damn.
And she, you know what? They were just up here together not that long ago. So,
like 2 weeks. What, 2 weeks ago, right?
Mm-hmm. I wonder if they're still going to work together.
Yeah, no, I don't think they can work together. If they want a divorce, it's like that. But hopefully they work it out. Maybe they're just going too far, and sometimes emotions get the best of them. Hopefully they work it out and figure it out.
All right. Rest in peace to Robert Guillaume, a.k.a. Benson, a.k.a.
Rafiki, man.
From the Lion King. Yes, 89 years old. He died from complications of prostate cancer, according to his wife. So rest in peace to him.
I actually quote Rafiki in my book. Rafiki, drop on the clues bombs for Rafiki. Rafiki is a very underappreciated character in cinema. Okay.
All right. Now, Chris Brown, we told you earlier he was supposed to be on The Breakfast Club, and he canceled. Now, he did apologize on his Instagram. He said, Breakfast Club, love y'all. Apologize for not coming to the show. Pop-up show today, and I was hoarse as ish from studio. I'll call personally so we can piece it up. But then he said, and I understand that the negative ish that is said because y'all feel hurt, all good. I'll let y'all have that. Hope that helps y'all status. Love you. I'm glad to know how y'all really feel, though. I guess God don't make mistakes. Show tonight, y'all invited to.
Well, listen, Chris, listen to me, sir. Got love for you, too, but The Breakfast Club is in 70 markets in 150 countries. We have 4 million weekly listeners, most listened to syndicated urban contemporary morning show in the country. Our status is fine. Okay? Because he said something about helping our status or something right there, right?
All right. Well, hopefully Chris Brown feels better, no longer hoarse.
Yeah, but listen, it's not negative at all. I'm just making an observation that Chris Brown looks like he has a substance abuse problem. I hope I'm wrong.
We don't know.
And if I'm wrong, I have no problem saying that, and I don't understand how all these interviewers that interview Chris, you know, don't ask him about it. And, you know, Chris, all these industry people talk behind your back. When you leave, they say, oh, what's up with Chris? Chris look like he on drugs. And then when something bad happens to you, they'll be the first to act so concerned and hashtag pray for Chris. So all I'm simply saying is don't wait until it's too late to say something, okay?
Well, I don't know what people say off the air. So I guess
I don't know if they've had
private conversations or anybody has spoken to him privately, because that's his private
people
business.
People have talked. Everybody talks behind everybody's back.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know, you know, if Chris has a drug problem. I don't know.
I'm just telling you what I'm observing. That's what it looks like to me.
He doesn't seem like it is. I would love him to come up and we have a conversation, but we couldn't do it this trip.
And if you were concerned about him and you cool with him, you can talk to him in private, and that can be your private conversation.
I wish Chris the best.
Correct.
God bless him and his family. I pray I'm wrong. And if he wants to talk, this seat is always open. But I'm just telling you, based off my life experiences, it looks like he's having a battle with substance.
I did watch his documentary, though, and I thought it was great that he opened up as much as he did. And I was surprised. He really gave a lot of details about things that explain certain situations that we see in public and don't know what happened.
And if you're around Chris and you're enabling him, if he does have a drug problem, you're a sucker too. Because they'll drag you around to all these radio stations and prop you up like you a dead body, like a Weekend at Bernie's. But then soon as something happens, they're going to act so sad.
All right, let me finish the rumors. Now let's talk about Toya Wright and Tamar Braxton. Now, the two of them had some back and forth. Here is Toya.
I'll clear this up. I hadn't spoken to Tamar. Like, it was like 8-9 months. Like, we don't talk all the time. We have a mutual friend, which is Tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And Tamar and I became friends from Tiny. And, you know, we were cool.
Just cool, but not
yeah,
like...
Yeah, but not to where she's like my
together,
best friend.
All right, well, Tamar did not like that. And she said this on The Breakfast Club.
I had no idea that wasn't my friend. On top of everything that was like really negative that happened last year, I think that, I'm not gonna cry. That's just one of the things that hurt me the most, because, you know, when her brothers died, it really affected me.
Well, Toya has since responded and said this.
I would like to say that I wish Tamar Braxton the best. I have nothing negative to say about her. And as far as black women in the entertainment industry handles conflict, I just feel like we use social media platforms to kind of air out a lot of cattiness and pettiness. I'm not saying that it's other people, because I'm a victim of it as well, but we have to do better. The girl fights and the Twitter beefs and the Instagram shade throwing, it just needs to stop.
And there you have it. Now, Mark Wahlberg has talked about regrets that he has in his life. He was at an event in Chicago, and he said that Boogie Nights is one of his regrets. He, I guess, feels like he hopes that that's not... He said, I always hope that God is a movie fan and also forgiving because I've made some poor choices in my past. Now, he also talked about something serious that happened. He talked about back in 1988, he was 16 years old, and he beat a Vietnamese immigrant to almost death. All right. And that same night, he attacked another Asian man while yelling racial slurs at him. One of those men did lose sight in his right eye, and he was charged with attempted murder. He pleaded guilty to assault and was sentenced to 2 years, ended up serving just 45 days. He said he's never been shy about sharing his past. He said, in the bad decisions I've made and been affiliated with gangs, being incarcerated. So absolutely, I think they can identify with me on a personal level. And that's why I've continued to try to do as much as I can to help young people. So now he is working with Chicago teenagers who find themselves in trouble. All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Shout out to Revolt. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice mixes up next. Let me know what you want to hear. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.